This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
5-4 the final. Colorado comes back to win. Buffalo had major control of this game. A 4-0 lead at home, and they blow it. No other words to use there. Collapse, choke, and blowing it, all that is there for sure. Sabres get no points in a game in which they were up by 4 goals in their home building. If you're wondering if it's ever happened at home, it's never happened at home. The last time it's happened, March 12th, 1988. How many of you were even born at that point that are listening right now? March 12th, 1988, the Sabres were up 4-0 in Calgary, lost that game to the Flames 10-4. They've never done it at home in over 50 years, being up 4 and blowing a game, and couldn't even get it to regulation, Pat Malacaro. Couldn't get it to overtime, rather.
What a swing it has been coming off that West Coast road trip. Where, yes, you lost the first game of the road trip because it was in Philadelphia, but then you come home, have a practice, go out west, and pick up all 6 points. And then to have last week happen where you played well enough to beat Minnesota. You just couldn't beat arguably one of the top three goaltenders, top two goalies in the league right now. And then to not even get any get 1 point in the last now 4 games is really surprising for a team that played so well. And the Kings have been playing. It's not as if the Sabres played three teams that were vastly below them. Crazy.
Yeah. This is a game in the state of the franchise where normally people would say, does the coach make it to tomorrow? Well, the Sabres just changed head coaches. It's not going to happen to Lindy Ruff. But you know what fans want right now. They want major changes. They want trades. You can bet they want a GM to do something or be moved out himself. That's the reaction you're going to get right now from fans, and understandably so.
And maybe this is why you brought Lindy Ruff back, is to hold the players accountable in ways that they weren't in the past. And everybody knows that blowing a 4-goal lead is not acceptable. But what do you do from here?
Yeah.
And maybe in the past, that's why you bring in someone with the credentials of Lindy Ruff, who has been, you know, so well revered within the franchise and around the league, has done so well around the league. How does he respond to this and take that to the team? And what can he do outside of, you know, potentially scratching a player? They maybe can't even do that right now with injuries. But what, to me, that's the next thing going into the next game is, what does Lindy Ruff do in terms of an answer for how tonight unfolded?
Yeah. 5-4 Colorado. The Sabres lose in regulation. Don't even get a point in this game, being up 4-0 in total control. They sent Colorado's starting goaltender, Joriev, to the bench. Scott Wedgwood, who they just acquired, came in, who we know has been around the NHL, and shut him out the rest of the way. You could sense it, Pat, that they just weren't right to start the second. They gave up a couple of chances right away. All right, more coming up in a moment up here. Let's go down to the room. Alex Tuck is live with Paul.
Okay. Our power play lacked a little bit of action. Gave them a little momentum on the PK there. And then obviously they came out and had a strong second. We didn't have any pushback. We decided to sit back and just try to play defense, and not even good defense at that point. Oopie bailed us out a lot in the second, and then honestly we still felt like we can control the game going into the third, and we let them off the hook. It sucks. It just sucks, honestly. We have to be better. Each and every guy has to be better. It's honestly horrible. Sorry, pardon my French, but it is. We left Oopie hanging. We left each other hanging. We weren't working for each other after the first period. We thought it was going to be easy. They were just going to go in a hole. It's former Stanley Cup champs over there. One of the best players in the world. One of the best defensemen in the world. I mean, you can't give them opportunities like that. It's total crap.
Why do you think the immature moments can happen, you know, to this group at times, you know, in games like this or the Islanders game where, you know, we've talked about learning from these, but.
Yeah, I know. It's a little redundant. It's a little repetitive. I know that every team goes through a learning experience, but it's not going to, it's got to be, you have to learn individually and as a team going forward, I think. It wasn't a good enough effort from any of the guys in this room, honestly, and we just have to be better. It's called a learning experience. Honestly, just don't forget how this feels, because it sucks. We didn't want to lose multiple games in a row, let alone four now. We got the number one team in the NHL, top three, whatever it is, with Winnipeg. We have to be ready for them. It's going to be... We're going to be playing against one of the best goalies in the world. They have a lot of firepower. They play a really good, hard team game, and we have to be at our best. We're not making the KeyBank hard enough to play, place to play right now. So that falls on me. That falls on all the guys in this locker room, and we'll be better.
What makes you think this team is capable of learning?
Oh, I don't know. Where were we a couple of years ago? I still think we're light years ahead of where we were. I still think we're light years individually. I think we've added pieces that really help us. I think for the majority of this year, we've played a really good, solid team game. It's the mental lapses, it's the slip-ups that we just have to hone in. And that's how you win. That's how you minimize your mistakes and you maximize your opportunities. And that's what we're going to have to continue to try to do. I thought we were able to maximize and minimize in the first period, but we just had to do it for two more periods. It's not easy. It's not going to be easy. We're going to have to come in and we're going to have to work. We're going to have to see some really crappy video tomorrow. We're going to have a tough meeting. We're going to have a tough skate. And we're going to play against one of the top teams in the NHL on come Thursday. We'll be ready for them.
What was your sense of just the body language on the bench as the lead was slipping away and, you know, kind of how guys were reacting as it got closer and closer?
I don't think we were too negative on the bench. I think we didn't react quick enough. I think we weren't. I mean, we were talking and everything. I just don't think we were reactive enough to really, hey, let's three guys like get together and like your line, you're up. Like, let's get the momentum back in our favor. Happened a couple times, but not enough. And we weren't able to sustain pressure and in the third period and really keep them on their heels. We were definitely the ones on our heels, and we weren't able to switch that.
Alex Tuck on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Tuck. He's out there answering the questions. Give him credit, at least credit for that. I know fans don't want to hear it. Some of these repeating lessons over and over as Colorado comes back in stunning fashion here today at home, but win by a score of 5-4. Usually at this point, Pat, we always hear from the captain in a night like this. Now, Dahlin left in the third. Wonder the extent of the injury. Is he able to come out and meet with the media? In some sense, I'd like to say, you got to get out there and talk. You're a captain. You got to figure it out. Let's go back to the room. Here's Tage Thompson now.
North
with
the puck, and then I think they make a push and start throwing pucks around, not making plays, and just giving it right back to them, and they just shove it back down our throat and spend the whole second and third in our D zone and just scrambling around. So it's just ugly, ugly last 40 minutes of the game.
Did you guys, after the first, think you kind of had it won?
No, I think there was a good message in here that we were just going to keep doing the same thing. I think we just got too casual. I think we thought it was going to be easy and that they were going to shut it down. And they're a good team. They're going to have a push, and I think their push intimidated us. I think we let it fold us, and we didn't look like we had any confidence to make plays or execute anything coming out of our zone, and it looked like when we had it on our stick, we didn't want it and just got rid of it, and they obviously took advantage of that, got in the neutral zone, quick transition back into our zone, and then once they were in our zone, we were just running around. So a lot of panic in our game in the second and third. Oopie bailed us out a lot, and could have been a lot worse.
So it had to be a wake-up call?
Yeah, I mean, we've had enough wake-up calls. It's terrible. That's all there is to it.
Tage Thompson in the postgame. Brian, back to you.
All right, there's Tage Thompson. Pat, who scored twice right away. It looked like his swagger and game was back. Just 6:39 in, he had two already.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would argue either with what he just said.
Back to the room. Dylan Cousins is now live.
Dylan, you guys have the first period that you had. What happened between the first and second to make it switch all around?
I don't really know. I think, we get up like that, and I don't know if we think it's going to be point night or something, but we can't change the way we play. We got to just keep doing the things right, not cheating, making the smart plays, and or else it's going to bite us in the ass like it did.
You talk about learning, but you guys have learned a lot over the thing. Is this one like past learning? I mean, you just didn't play the way you were capable of playing for two periods. You guys know that. It's not like you have to learn that.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been in this league long enough now. That's not an excuse anymore. There's absolutely no excuses for what happened tonight. It's embarrassing and just not good enough.
Dylan, you guys have lost three times when the other team has pulled the goalie. Do you get the sense that you just guys just take the foot off the gas when you get a few goals early?
Yeah, I think maybe, yeah. And then I think once we give one up, we start panicking and are thinking too much about worst case scenario, we just panic, we don't make smart plays, we're just thinking negatively about what could happen instead of just pushing and putting one goal behind us instead of just panicking and letting them get another and another. We just got to find ways if we give one up when we have a lead like that, just to forget about it and get back to our game.
Could you sense the panic on the bench or on the ice, like were there guys trying to kind of to stop that in its tracks before it got to where it did?
Yeah, I think when you give a team like that just any sniff, they're gonna push. And when they have players like they do, we gave them one, we gave them two, and then we give them belief and we give them hope. And when you give a team like that kind of belief and hope, it's hard. It's hard for us to defend that. And that's just something we can't do in the future. We had our chances. We had our power plays to kind of take the game away, and we didn't capitalize, and that's on us. And, yeah.
Do you feel like you guys are pressing on those power plays?
Yeah, I think it's just a little frustration when you don't get in the first time, you don't get in the second time, you start to try and force things, and that never works. We just got to stick to what was giving us success a few games ago, and that was just keeping it simple, getting it to the net, and recovering it, and then getting it back there.
What tells you reached the form you guys had just about a week ago?
Pardon me?
What tells you you can get back to what you had just barely a week ago, really? I mean, you guys were on a roll, and it's not that long.
Yeah, I mean, we know we can win. We know that this is absolutely not good enough, and we can't hit the panic button. We've been through this before where we panic and then we just keep losing, and then we end up being so close at the end of the year. We can't worry about it too much. We gotta take what we can from this game, which is not much, but and then we just gotta focus on the next one. There's a lot of season left, and we just gotta get back to doing what works for us.
Dylan Cousins on the postgame. Brian, back to you.
Okay, Paul, thank you. Dylan Cousins there. Sabres fall 5-4. Again, if you're just joining us, the last time the Sabres blew a four-goal lead and lost, it was 1988 in Calgary against the Flames. They were up 4-0 and then lost that game 10-4. in the entire history of the franchise since 1970. It's never happened at home. So tonight, historical collapse for the Sabres. They've never done it at home tonight. And, Pat, not only did they lose, but they couldn't even get it to overtime to even get a point in the standings.
I agree with everything. All three players and all three are part of the leadership core of this team. So to answer your question also about Rasmus Dahlin with his injury and leaving the game early, we heard from three of the core leaders of this team, and all three had the same message. And I agree with them. But the question becomes, how do you fight your way out of it? And that was what was supposed to be different for this team was you've learned from the mistakes in the past. You were a young team. Those were all built-in, you know, reasons why things happened the way they did. Now this team, yes, in age-wise, may still be very young, but games played in the league has enough games under their belt that you shouldn't go into having a four-goal lead and then being defensive for the majority of the rest of the game and having a team like Colorado. And I give them credit. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon helped lead the way. He's one of the top point getters in the league, Hart Trophy candidate every year. Mikko Rantanen, another top player in the league. But you showed that over the first 10, 15 minutes of this game, you were the better team. And how did it go from 4-0 to a 5-4 loss is something that you just don't expect from this team at this point.
And the warning signs for the team were there if they wanted it. The second period, there were definitely instances where it was not good. Lindy Ruff, here we go, live to his postgame comments.
We got in trouble with puck management. A thing that has hurt us previously. I think it's hurt this team in the past. You look at the first two goals. I didn't manage the puck well, and then not strong around the net in the last 40.
Seems that at times overconfidence maybe and some stubbornness creeps in into their game. How do you explain that? How do you address it?
I don't know if it's overconfidence. I think it's you look at a couple of goals. We got on the wrong side of the puck. There's a time and a place. You know, if you're chasing a game, we weren't chasing a game. We got on the wrong side on third and fourth goal. Really called the timeout to just sort of settle things down. I sense panic. We were running around in our end. We've been pretty good at, you know, staying in pretty good position in our end. Two of the goals, we were out of position, just flat out of position. And then you look at the last couple, just net front, box your guy out, be strong around the net front. Not strong enough, allowed them to tip the puck, to get under puck, get in front of our goaltender.
We heard the word panic from several guys in there. I mean, how shocked are you that that was the reaction? A lot of these guys have played in this league before. They're not all rookies.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There is no doubt. You have to, you know, you really get in a game like that where you know they can turn the tide on some shifts. It's believing in that. The way we're playing, the way we're trying to stay inside, that you have to stay inside. And it started a little bit in the second period. We got a couple of big saves from UPL. We addressed that. And then, again, at the tail end of a power play, we mismanaged a puck, and it killed us.
Lindy, how much do you worry that this could snowball, or some of the frustration of the disappointment?
It's my job not to let it snowball. We'll address it. We'll deal with it. We'll go over it. It's hard, painful, but cannot. I think you've got to look at. We got a little shorthanded in the third period. You know, we played without Dahls. That got us in a little bit of problem. But when you're shorthanded, you got to believe even more in your system, and you got to manage the puck even better. And we didn't. I don't have it yet. He left the game with back spasms.
Is that related to his preseason injury?
Yes.
Lindy, you've been in this building a lot when it's been rocking. I mean, what's it like to just hear the reaction from the crowd?
Fair enough, really. It was a pretty excited crowd in the first period. But obviously they sense it slipping away too.
Guys stop working to get good opportunities?
No. I think the message to their team was you gotta crank it up too, and we knew that they could. We just didn't get into enough people, and we didn't get in front of enough people.
Thanks for correcting.
Okay, there's Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff following a 5-4 comeback win by the Colorado Avalanche. Again, the Sabres, in the history of the franchise, have never given up a 4-goal lead at home and lost. And this one doesn't even get to overtime. They lose 5-4 in regulation in front of an announced 14,942. I'm sure many of you in your car right now stunned. If you're listening on your drive home from the game is brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet, with you for the extra mile. All right, well, this one has a lot to digest. We know the Sabres picked up no points in the standings, and now for the first time this season they have lost 4 games in a row. Does not get any easier. The best team in the Western Conference, the Winnipeg Jets, will be here on Thursday at 7 o'clock. For all of our local affiliates, we're going to say goodbye to you at this time. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com or on the Odyssey app. For all of you on WGR, we'll continue the postgame. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take when we come back. We'll grab some phone calls if you want to jump on board. 803-0550, 803-0550, or 1-888-552-550. Give you some more stats here. Hey, memorable night in a bad fashion for Sabre fans. Colorado 5, Buffalo 4. More postgame coming up. I'm Brian Colziel, and this is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Malinsky, 26-year-old Minnesota native, fires it in. Here's a pass. Far post. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me? Lukanen with another stop as that deflects up and out of play. Unbelievable.
Dan Dunleavy on the call there. Ukko-Pekka Lukanen making some big saves while Colorado was coming back here, and well, the Sabres got help from him, not anybody else, though, along the way. Save of the game brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers for all the great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. 5-4 Colorado. The Sabres, for the first time in the history of the franchise, give up a 4-0 lead at home. They can't even get it to overtime to pick up a loser point. The last time it's happened that they blew a 4-goal lead, it happened in Calgary, March 12th, 1988. They blew a 4-goal lead there and lost to the Flames. Lindy Ruff's press conference, by the way, last segment was brought to you by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. Also, if you're just joining us, maybe getting in your car from KeyBank Center, Lindy Ruff said at the end of that press conference that Rasmus Dahlin left the game in the third period with back spasms. He says it is related to what was bothering him during training camp. The injury report is brought to you by the Orthopedic Center at Catholic Health St. Joseph Campus. Go with Joe's, and that was also, I'm sure, the reason why we did not hear from the captain after this game tonight. You heard from the three guys that I have wear the A's. You heard from Thompson. You heard from Tuck. You heard from Cousins. But we did not hear from the captain, and likely that is the reason why. We will hear from Paul Hamilton, though, now. Let's go down to the media room. Paul, what was the mood in the room there? I know you spoke with the three alternate captains. Just, I guess, kind of, if you can set the scene for everybody listening right now, like, what was it like in there? What did we heard what they said, but what else can you tell us?
Everybody talked about panic. That after, you know, once the things got rolling against them in the second period, they got panicked. And, you know, Dylan Cousins, I agree with him 100%. They've learned, there are a lot of things they've learned from. This is not a learning experience. They know they can't play like that. They know that. And I look down the roster, there are enough players that have played enough games in the National Hockey League. The only guys who would have any excuse to panic that I see are
maybe
Yuri Kulik and Zach Benson, yeah. Period. The rest of them have been around long enough that they never should panic like that. The worst loss in Buffalo Sabres home history. Are you kidding me? For a team that is supposedly going to make the playoffs? I mean, you just cannot ever play like that for 40 minutes. Look at how pathetic their power play has been now for the last two games against two of the worst penalty kills in the National Hockey League. And they can't even get the puck into the zone. I mean, it's just, You know, yeah, they had seven games in a row where they had a power play goal, but obviously that was just luck. Because look at the power play before all that and look at it afterwards. It is just nowhere. And to have a team that was capable of doing what we witnessed tonight, they got the wrong players here in some cases. And they got to figure that out or find somebody else to figure that out. Because this team should be so much further along in the last 5 years than it is now that this should never, ever, ever, ever happen at home.
Paul, I was saying a game like this, usually, sometimes, and with other organizations, it can lead to a coach being fired. It's not going to happen here with Lindy Ruff here just coming in. What can happen?
Probably nothing. Practice tomorrow will happen. Meeting that they're not going to enjoy will happen. And then they'll play a game on Thursday. That's what will happen.
Paul, when you look at some of the breakdowns, Lindy Ruff said that they were mismanaging the puck all over the place. And then he said about how they were just very, very weak around the net. Do you agree with the assessment if that's a big reason why how Colorado came back in this game?
Absolutely. And then a new goaltender goes in. I asked Lindy Ruff if they were working hard enough to get scoring chances, and he said that wasn't it at all, and then described to me how they weren't working hard enough. His description that he used after he told me that wasn't it was exactly what not working hard enough is. You know, again, they thought they had it won. They thought that it would be easy, and all the players said that afterwards. You could see it. They know it. We were there. We could see it. And then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, this isn't easy. And, oh, no, we can't get our game back. Oh, no, we're not working hard enough. Oh, no, we're not managing the puck. Oh, no, our power play is horrendous against two of the worst penalty kills in the league. Just score one power play goal, and we're probably having a whole totally different conversation here right now. But, again, I mean, they have played the New York Islanders and the Colorado Avalanche and haven't scored in five of the last six periods. Now, in the one period, they did score four. But now they have not scored a goal in five of the last six periods because they're not working hard enough to score goals. Why did they score four goals in the period? What did we talk about? Because look at the work they put in. Look at the work Tage Thompson put in to score that first goal. He was not going to be denied. First of all, he's where he's supposed to be, right in the crease. Second of all, he worked very hard to make sure he got to that puck that had hit the post and to put it in. Look at the work Dylan Cousins put in, followed by Zach Benson on the Paterka goal. They worked hard, totally outworked the Avalanche, got the puck out, turned into a two, like a sideways two-on-one. Benson makes a perfect pass, and it's in the net. Look at the work that Obe Cabell put in, along with Krebs, to make that goal happen for Malenstein, who goes to the net, gets the play, and scores. That's all because they're putting the work in. So for one of the last six periods, they put the work in. Again, with a coach who holds everybody accountable, and everything's going to change, and this, that, and you know, they're harder to play against. But one period out of the last six, they worked hard enough to score goals.
5-4 Colorado, the final. Sabres give up a four-goal lead and get no points in the standings to show for it. Winnipeg will be here on Thursday. Game two of the five-game homestand continues. I know there's a lot of people on hold. We'll get to some calls here in just one moment as we get one or two more final thoughts here from Paul Hamilton on this Sabres collapse tonight. Paul, the bright spot is while Colorado was all over the Sabres, I thought Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen actually was going to somehow find a way to get this in. Obviously, he didn't, but for most of the second and for some of the third there, he was making some saves. I mean, this maybe could have even been more than just a one-goal win for Colorado.
Sure it was. I mean, he gave up five, but he was under siege. This certainly wasn't his fault. I mean, tip-ins. I mean, Colorado certainly was working hard, getting people to the net, screening the goaltender, tipping the pucks, getting in all alone, scoring goals as the defenseman stands there and does nothing to the guy who's getting the rebound and scoring goals. All I got to do is take them. But they didn't. They just stood there with them. And It's just they know better than all of this. That's why you can always learn. That's not what I'm saying. But to say this game is a learning experience is a crock. They know they can't play like that. There's nothing to learn. They knew before it started they can't play like that, but they did it anyway. And then panic set in, and then they couldn't do anything. And then a team that has three of the top 12 scorers in the National Hockey League take over. And what did I tell you in the first period? I said they can't come out and think they have this one, because Colorado is perfectly capable of scoring four goals and getting back into this hockey game. Well, I was wrong. They scored five.
Paul, last thing, obviously, you know, I mentioned this to start with. A night like this, you've now lost four in a row. You can feel it slipping here on this team. We know that Kevin Adams is not going to fire Lindy Ruff. I wouldn't advise him to fire Lindy Ruff. I know you would say the same. What can Kevin Adams do at this point here? Obviously, he's getting a ton of criticism from fans at this moment. What can he do that's realistic in this situation? And I know this is a loaded question because I'm not expecting you to just rattle off a plan instantly here, but, like, is there something that can be done here in the immediate future that can save the season?
In 5.5 years, it's his job to build a team that can win. He has failed at that. Simple as that. The ball's in Terry Pegula's court, not Kevin Adams.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate your thoughts tonight. We will talk to you here on Thursday with the Jets.
Yep.
All right, we bring it back upstairs here. Paul Hamilton with his thoughts. I don't have much of a response there. I mean, we know the owner has stood behind Kevin Adams. I wouldn't expect that to change. I know fans might want a different opinion of that, but Paul is probably right in the sense that maybe not a lot will happen here unless the owner wants something to happen and change. All right, we will take some calls here. Brian Colziel, Pat Mollicaro here is with me too. We'll get Pat's scores and standings update, but let's get some calls in here at 803-0550. Let's go to David first here on the postgame. Hi, David, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, so I have more to say, but I have a opening question, sort of. How in the world does that owner, does that GM expect the fans to be back in that building for the next home game? How? After a performance like that, on top of the fact that we haven't made the playoffs since I was 9 years old. I mean, Paul said it earlier, that games like this and other organizations get coaches fired. Obviously, that's not going to happen. I don't want it to happen. This is a game I'd be pretty upset if the GM survived this one.
Thank you, David. Like I said, I think Paul nailed it. Like, this is now, I mean, is Terry Pegula going to do something? If you're asking me, do I think he will, I don't think he'll do anything. But if he wants to make a change, he can do it. Yes, I don't think anybody that's sitting here on hold or anybody that's tweeting in their thoughts or anybody's in the car that's listening right now is saying we need to change the head coach. In fact, I've gotten a lot of fans saying, like, I feel bad for Lindy, or, man, what would I do if I was Lindy here? Clearly, if you've listened to him, and Lindy doesn't really hold back, I think you've been able to tell his frustration with the fact that this team doesn't follow through with things that they've supposedly learned lessons from, that this team can't be consistent when they've had success. It's not even as if like Pat, that he has said, hey, let's do this, and that they haven't had success coming over, where maybe they'd be tuning him out. Like, no, they've had success. They have found exactly the recipe to figure out how to win. But they just, for whatever reason, refuse to do it on a consistent basis at all. And even on a night where they should be celebrating an outstanding period after a 4-0 lead, they can't even handle success properly.
Lindy was even asked, you know, his reaction to the way the fans reacted tonight. And paraphrasing, the answer was basically, I get it.
Yeah.
You get the fact that you go up 4-0, the building is electric and fans are into the game, and then Scott Wedgwood makes 19 saves the rest of the way, and Nathan MacKinnon ends up with 3 points and helps lead Colorado back to a 5-4 win. And he understands when the fans voice their frustration at the end of the night. He was blunt and honest, and really, I mean, he heard what we heard.
Yep, for sure.
And I don't blame the fans for their reaction either.
I think the fans were pretty encouraging to them in the third, realizing they could feel the wheels coming off, and they were trying to, you know, my sense is here for those that were in here, they were trying to rally them, give them energy. There were some "Let's go Buffalo" chants. There were some clapping going. Like there were some opportunities there to try to bring them to life, to realize like, hey guys, you're still winning this game here. Like, don't blow this. And you know, obviously, we know how it ended. Thanks for the call, David. Toby is going to be next here on the postgame. Hi, Toby. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm pretty frustrated. I've been a fan since maybe around 2010, 2011. I was born in 03, and this just feels like the same story over and over again. Like, the team's talented, they're full of good players, everyone's good, and yet they're losing. And it's just the same story over and over and over again. I saw the O'Reilly days, the Eichel days, the Evander Kane days, and now it's the Tage Thompson days, and the Peyton Krebs days, and the Jack Quinn days, and the Dahlin days. But it's the same thing. They keep losing and losing and losing. And I was at the game tonight, and it was electric after the first period. We were up 4-0. No one could believe it. I was talking to a young man along with an old lady, and they both had the same exact reaction. Holy crap, the Sabres are up 4-0 on a good team after the first period. And then what happens? They fall apart. And they don't even get a point. They don't even get a point. They lose in three periods after being up 4-0 in one. That is crazy.
It is. Thank you. Thank you, Toby. To not get a point, to me, is just, I mean, they obviously were sitting here thinking it was in the books here for sure. And, Pat, here's the thing. They got a strong reminder after the second period that did not go well, where their goaltender saved them quite a few times. Right away, the saves on Lehkonen, the saves on Mittelstadt. Maybe, you know, Paul said it was one of his saves of the year on Mittelstadt. MacKinnon scores, but Colorado's all over him. 15 shots in the second and a ton of possession. And Lehkonen bailed him out. You're up 4-1 now. You can be in the locker room. You can almost be like, holy crap, we got away with that.
Like, now let's reset.
Right. And Lindy even warned him. He even said, he goes, we warned him. We talked about it. This is what's happening. It's going to get away from you if you don't change it. And it got worse incredibly in the third after Lindy even said that they brought it. They got away with doing all the things that Alex Tuch and Tage Thompson and Dylan Cousins said that was happening. They got away with it. You still are fine. You're up 4-1 going to the third in your home building and your goalie's playing great. You got away with it. And the fact that they allowed it to happen for another 20 minutes and they gave up 17 more shots in the third, like, it's awful. No, I understand Toby's frustration and anybody that was in the building tonight that paid money to come and watch this game.
19 shots in the third.
Yeah.
And that, what was making this season different than previous years and things we've talked about was their ability to not let it snowball. The ability to, maybe you give up a goal a minute 19 in the third period, but this year it seemed like at least for the first 20, 25 games, they were finding ways to get the next goal and not make it two in a row, three in a row against, and you shut it off there. That's maybe the most troubling part of, you're right, they were able to survive the second with a three-goal lead still, and then it started to snowball in the third. Again, give Colorado credit for being a tough team, but this is a team that really you have on the ropes, and you found a way because of your goaltender to still lead by three after not playing a good period. You need to come out with a better response in the third than two goals in 4:30, and then what turned out to be five unanswered in the end.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you mentioned the shots in the third. Colorado ends up with 41 in the game, 30 for Buffalo. Wedgwood was 22 for 22. Scott Wedgwood, pretty impressive there. Sabres power play 0 for 3. So that was a killer in that as well. Some of the other stats to look at. Here's, we get our final stats brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Power was a minus 3. Had to play extra minutes with Dahlin out in the third. He played almost 22 minutes. Byram played a ton, 26 and a half minutes. for him, 29 shifts. But again, Dahlin left the game in the third period with back spasms very early in the third. He ends up playing 17-16 of ice time. But yeah, the Sabres power play tonight, 0 for 3. Power play update, your DynaBray.com power play update, powered by DynaBray Tools, proudly made here in Buffalo. Let's grab one more call this segment. David in Pennsylvania is with us now. Hi, David. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Brian. Appreciate you taking my call tonight, man. It's just getting old. I mean, this team, you know, for so many years has missed the playoffs. They've tried every kind of coach. They've tried all different kinds of players. You know, they tried different ways of being, you know, analytics, everything. And one constant in this whole thing is we've never really heard a whole lot from Terry Pegula. And I think now we have to. You know, after this tonight, you know, you've seen over the years, I mean, I remember the New Jersey Devils in the mid-90s when they were great. They fired Robbie Fatorik, and they went on and won a Stanley Cup. Teams that have been a lot more successful fire coaches. You can't fire Lindy Ruff, but I think Kevin Adams' job is definitely in jeopardy. And I think Pegula's got to step up and do something here, because if he doesn't, I think fans are going to just say, why even bother showing up or even watching these games anymore?
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. And I wouldn't hold your breath on hearing from the owner, because if we've had any sort of past precedence, is that he's not going to say anything. He's not going to talk about the team. He's going to let Kevin Adams do that. He just, throughout this last 5, 6, 7 years, has said almost nothing through what has been some really, really down times. So to expect that he's going to do it after this game, even though maybe this would one where you'd think, hey, you might want to hear what he's thinking at this point. To me, if I'm advising him, if I am wanting to defend my general manager, then I am talking and saying how, hey, you know, I'm in charge, I'm the first guy to be held accountable, blah, 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 blah. I'm all this sort of, I'm trying to deflect some of the heat that the general manager is going to take here, and then give him a vote of support if that's what you want to do, if you want to keep him. And I think he probably does want to keep him. That's what I would do. I would come up there, I'd face the facts, I would, you know, be up there being held for accountability. You're the owner of the team. And then if you want to defend the GM, that's the time to do it, because you have the public forum to do it, understanding that you're going to take some heat from some questions from media, as you should. But my guess is if you're looking to hear from the owner, it's not going to happen, because there's been a lot of these down moments over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 years, and we haven't heard from him ever. There's been team spokesmen to do it, or there's been the GM to do it, and I would guess that that would be what Kevin Adams would do at this point. Question whether we hear from the GM or not anytime in the next few days. We'll find out, obviously. 5-4 the final. We'll take a timeout here. And more postgame coming up here. An epic collapse tonight for the Sabres. The first time it's ever happened at home in the franchise's history. They blow a 4-goal lead and lose 5-4 to Colorado. More postgame coming up. Thanks for listening. Along with Pat Malacaro, I'm Brian Colziel, and this is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
To the far circle, shot, and Lukanen gets there. Oh, that's a big stop. Top line up for Colorado, and they're buzzing. Lukanen again, they score! Lekkonen in front. And the Avalanche, for the first time tonight, after trailing 4-0, have stormed back to take a 5-4 lead with only 4:22 to go in the third period.
Dan Dunleavy on the call. That's your game winner. Arturi Lekkonen's fifth, late in the third. That was the fourth of four in the third for the Avalanche, and five in a row after Buffalo led it 4-0. An epic collapse here at home tonight at KeyBank Center for the Sabres. Again, if you're just joining us, maybe getting in your car from KeyBank Center, the last time the Sabres had a 4-goal lead and lost, March 12th, 1988. They had a 4-0 lead in Calgary and lost 10-4. The last time it happened at home, it has never happened at home in the history of the franchise dating back to 1970. Well, no points for the Sabres. Somehow, a 4-goal lead, and it doesn't even result in a loser point. We'll update you on the standings. Another set of handful of East teams picked up points tonight. The Sabres have fallen farther down. We'll tell you where it is in a moment. But speaking of those games, let's see what happened elsewhere here around the league. Pat Malacaro.
Thanks, Brian. It's brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joy Shore Border Attorneys. We'll start in Minnesota, where the Wild and Canucks are heading to overtime. The team's tied at two, thanks to a third-period goal by Minnesota. 3:39 to go in the third in Winnipeg. Buffalo's next opponent, the Jets, are trailing St. Louis 3-1. Mark Scheifele, his 13th goal of the season in that losing effort so far. An emotional night in Calgary, where a pregame ceremony honoring the life of Johnny Gaudreau is Gaudreau playing for both the Flames and the Blue Jackets before tragically passing away in an accident over the summer. The Blue Jackets trailing Calgary 1-0 in the second period, 6:35 to go in the middle stanza there. And the Golden Knights, and Ivan Barbashev's 13th of the year, lead the Oilers 1-0 in the first. It took overtime, but the Bruins pick up a 3-2 win over the Red Wings. In overtime as well, 2-1, the Canadiens defeat the Islanders, and the Penguins pick up a overtime victory over Florida 5-4. 2-1 was the final. Sharks defeat the Capitals. Washington picks up a point there, and the Kraken doubled the Hurricanes 4-2. Also, a couple of notes from local college sports. On the hardwood, UB defeats Pitt Bradford 100-65. And in local college hockey, just down the road in Rochester tonight, Canisius with a 6-4 victory over RIT, Brian.
Nice going by the Bulls tonight, hitting the century mark. Another win at home at Alumni Arena. Thank you, Pat.
Of course.
All right, so all those scores that Pat mentioned, some of the Eastern teams that won. Well, let's see. A week ago, they were in third in the Atlantic. Now the Sabres are only better than two teams in the entire conference. That's how far they have fallen. They're only 2 points better than Ottawa and 3 points better than Montreal. That's it. Everybody else is either tied or ahead. Sabres have 24 points, 11, 12, and 2. They are now under 500 in terms of points percentage, 24 points in 25 games. Again, only better than Ottawa's 22 and Montreal's 21. The normal Thanksgiving conversation is always, are they in it or is it over? And Paul Hamilton always says, well, this is what he always says. It's not necessarily that you're that far behind. It's the fact that you've got all these teams. Well, suddenly a four-game losing streak, and the Sabres have 6 teams to pass to get themselves back into a playoff spot.
I'm going off memory, so it's a little bit, don't trust me completely, but I did see a graphic over the weekend talking about the American Thanksgiving anecdote. Last year, I believe, 3 teams, one of these, 2 in the West, were the teams that didn't make it. Basically an 80% hit rate for teams that were in the playoffs at American Thanksgiving. Only one team that was from the East at that time didn't make it in the West, both the wild cards. But that just goes to show you, by the time you get to this point of the season, even though there's so many games still to be played, there's just not much change in the standings, whether it be head-to-head matchups, however it shakes out. The Atlantic basically had the same 3 teams since the division's been formed. It's just who's in the wild card. So just lends to the conversation of, how difficult it is once you cross last week.
The point differential between the Sabres' point total of 24 and the playoffs is not much. It's 3. Both wildcard teams, Rangers and Flyers, have 27. That's the good news. The bad news is that you would have to, again, you have to be better than the Wings, the Islanders, the Blue Jackets, the Penguins, and the Lightning even before you get to those 2 wildcard teams.
And a couple of those teams you've already lost to this season. Now, they'll get the Red Wings again next week, and you'll have plenty more games against those teams. But it's, again,
lost to the Islanders twice already.
Right. Yep. You've lost to the Flyers in Philadelphia.
You lost to the Blue Jackets.
Right. Yep. So these are teams, again, that going into the season you talk about, win those games against the teams you think you need to be better than on paper going into the year. And the Sabres have done it in a couple of cases, but by and large, the teams they're chasing are the teams they've had a chance to collect points against.
Well, the top team in the West, with the Winnipeg Jets, who have 36 points, who have the tied for the most amount of points in the entire National Hockey League, will be here on Thursday night. We'll have the Steve Foley Law pregame at 6 right here on our flagship station on WGR, and then along the entire network at 7 o'clock. That'll be game 2 of a 5-game homestand. Saturday, home for Utah at 1. Next week, Detroit and the New York Rangers. That'll wrap things up here from KeyBank Center on what was a night, again, of pain for Sabre fans leaving. A 4-0 lead evaporates, and it ends up in a 5-4 Colorado victory.
Want to thank our crew. TJ Luckman, our network producer back in our Amherst studios. Thank you, TJ. The crew here at KeyBank Center, Pat Malacarlo, Jonathan Colziel. Thank you, guys. Paul Hamilton, our reporter down in the room. Schopel the Bulldog on the pregame. Tom Matty was our engineer. And for our game announcers, Dan Dunleavy and Rob Ray. I'm Brian Colziel. I thank you for listening. Again, the final here from KeyBank Center. Colorado 5, Buffalo 4. We will talk to you on Thursday night with Winnipeg in town right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.